That's where that joy is, in His presence. We are a people who have the joy of the Lord, amen, which is our strength. He said He gives us living waters and we thirst no more, praise God. So if you've lost that joy or you need it stirred up, just believe as we share tonight, we've been in His presence. If you need to be refreshed, just prepare your heart to receive that refreshing tonight. Whatever you need in your life, just trust in Father to touch your lives, to refresh you, to meet you right where you are, speak to you, a word in season, amen. Father, we just come with ears to hear and hearts that are hungry to receive more of You, more life, more of Your anointing that comes from the presence of Your Holy Spirit in us. And we ask You tonight that rivers of living water, Father, would flow out of our lives, and those that we're preparing to receive, should You tarry till tomorrow into this compound, Father, that we would just be ready to just shine the light of Your glory, to shine this glorious gospel. You've done so much in each of our lives and in our midst as a people. We are so thankful for the privilege of being called by Your name, that our hearts would be sensitive and available, hearts of servants, because we want to be like You and You live in us, Jesus, and just help us to reach those, to just be bold with hearts that are broken and compassionate, and that Your love would just flow out of our lives. And especially as they observe how we relate and love one another, they'll know that You were sent by the Father. By this, You said, shall all men know that You're My disciples, My disciplined ones, by the love You have for one another. And we just want You to be exalted, You to be glorified, You to be all in all. Tonight, Father, we just thank You and praise You for who You are, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. In Matthew 9, just so clear the Lord's admonition to go. And go could just mean tomorrow. Go to that person that the Lord wants you to share with. It is going to all the nations, but it's going to your neighborhood. Go into Jerusalem. Go into Judea. Amen. Go into Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. And those who go afar are more the minority that the Holy Spirit separates to go somewhere else. But the majority of us are called to be faithful and lights right where God has us. Amen. And what a privilege and what a high calling. And there's grace for the task. But in Matthew 9, the Lord said in verse 37 to His disciples, to His church, the harvest truly is plentiful or plenteous, but the laborers are few. And I believe with all my heart that we're in an hour where the Lord's eyes are still moving to and fro throughout this whole earth. And He's just looking for yielded and available vessels, just like you see when the Lord encountered Isaiah and said, who will I send? And Isaiah, having been encountered and touched and purified and cleansed by the visitation of God, by the glimpse of God, the holiness of God, touched his life, purified him. And the first thing God said is, who will go for me? And Isaiah said, and I believe it's what he wants in each of our hearts, and I believe that heart's there, but he wants in each of our hearts that heart that's just available for the Lord's purposes. Busy trading or occupying until he comes. And we heard with a clarion voice this morning, his coming is upon us. And it's sooner than when we first believe. And it's truly a time when he's preparing and refining and purifying his bride, his church, to make us that glorious church without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. But at the same time he's purifying us, he's saying, I want you to go. I want you to freely give what you freely received. I want you to stay in the spirit that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I want you to be in that spirit of what you've heard in secret. I want you to shout it from the housetops. I want you to make a bold proclamation of my work in your heart. I want you to speak it boldly and shout it from the housetops. And don't fear those who can kill the body. We heard that recently. But fear him that we answer to. Amen. Because we're in an hour where we're preparing from that eternal perspective. We're preparing to meet our God. He's coming back soon. And very soon, just like the songwriter said, we're going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we're going to see Him. And when we do, there's good news. We're going to be like them, praise God. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then when we see them, face to face. Man. We see through a glass dimly, but let's try to see more clearly, though it's dimly. Let's try to see as clearly as we can. Getting that time sitting at the feet of Jesus. What better place is there to be than in God's presence? And then you get up with something fresh to give to the brethren in your community, at your job. You get up from being with Jesus and you can't help, right? But speak the things that you've seen and heard. But I was sharing that his eyes are moving to and fro. And he wants to demonstrate his glory in this hour. Kind of like Isaiah 61 says, arise and shine, church, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The Lord has gone before us and his glory is our rear guard. And he said, go. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages. And this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all the nations before the end comes. And I'm not going to sidetrack right now with the interpretation of that, because no matter how you interpret it, he wants the gospel to go into all nations. Whether it's the tribulation period or whether it's pre-tribulation period, he wants us to go into all the nations. And though it's narrow and few there be that find it, and as we heard this morning, there's not going to be a worldwide revival and influx of all these souls. But we know the Lord's heart that he's willing that none perish. That doesn't take away, as we are hearing and pastors making a point against false doctrine and seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And they fail to emphasize that few there be that find it. It's a remnant. Not everybody who professes his name is part of the remnant. But man, it's on the Lord's heart for us to go. And I believe it's one of the greatest ways to help us overcome being self-absorbed and focused on the natural and on the temporal. It's like Jesus said, look up. Lift up your eyes. The fields are already white on the harvest. He said, don't say that there's still 4 months before the harvest comes. He said, the fields are already, and he said this years ago, and I believe it's continued to be the word, that the fields are already, what? White. They're white on the harvest. He's looking for a harvester who'll put in the sickle, praise God. We'll try to get over to the Psalms. He who goes forth bearing precious seed shall surely come again with sheaves. There's a harvest, man. There's souls to be harvested. And that's why he said, preach the gospel to every creature. Everybody you see is potential. But we need that heart of being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But we also need the heart that says, everybody I see might be the one. So we don't put too much emphasis on our little sensor, which sometimes isn't sensing as well as it needs to. Because Jesus died for each person you see. And I just pray again that we would have a glimpse of the Lord again tonight, high and lifted up. And get his burden as we're hearing that heart for intercession this morning. That heart of the Lord for intercession. That heart that stands in the gap between the living and the dead. That heart that sees those dead bones and cries and speaks life, cries out against the works of darkness as we're hearing the battle cry for intercessors, for warriors in this hour, for people who are going to rise up in the name of Jesus, realize that we have the armor of God. We have all the weaponry we need. We heard this morning, everything that pertains to life and godliness. What do we lack? Nothing. But the willingness to obey. And he said in Isaiah, you'll eat the good of the land. As you go, you'll go in my name and I'll give you the victory. Go. I've gone before you. And that heart that continues to pray for doors of utterance, even as we're going into camp week with soccer. But their souls, it's not about soccer. We know that it's souls are here. They're coming to us. Continuing to pray into the evening hours. We heard the testimony from Bill. And there's others who have testimonies. And there's some we might not ever hear because one plants, another waters, and Father gives. How many lives are reached because Father gave the increase and they're not in this state anymore? You didn't hear the testimony, but the word of God doesn't return void, but it will accomplish that for which he sent it. And he sent it to bear fruit, to bring conversion, to bring deliverance, to fill people's emptiness with life, to give them abundant life, new life in Christ. Our God is a redeemer. He's a redeemer. He's a deliverer, mighty to deliver. A wicked and crooked and adulterous generation, yes, but one Jesus died for. And we can't be weary of sharing with those who apparently keep saying no or close the door or turn against you and rend you. We need that heart that sees the privilege of being beaten for his name's sake, maligned for his name's sake. It says, and they spitefully do it. And get over that part of us that said, this isn't right. All I did was love them. And Jesus said, for my love, they hated me. And that's the heart of our Lord that's in us. We lay down our lives and don't think we've done anything special or anything that should be rewarded. We're the privileged ones. We give and we get blessed. We share the gospel and we walk away blessed for the privilege of being able to share and herald his name. I'm telling you again, beloved, in this hour, if you get your eyes off yourself and begin to pray, Lord, open a door for me. And don't look at how you feel or whether you think you're worthy or prepared enough or have you been prayerful enough. When you start setting your heart on sharing with the lost, you'll see where you lack and what needs to get refilled, where you need to be refilled. But don't like wait till you feel worthy. I think I'm full enough. Just go and share in obedience and watch God work. You know what I'm really trying to say? Be who Jesus made you to be, a living epistle. I can't help it. I can't help it. And if it's not coming out because you can't help it, get refilled so you can't help it. And out of your innermost being, amen, will flow rivers of living water. Can't get away from that phrase, man, as they moved in that boldness and the demonstration of God's power was present in Acts 3 and 4, Acts 1 to 28, excuse me. Love the first five chapters, but it's all Acts of the Apostles. Just proclaiming with boldness and signs and wonders. Just like Mark 16 says, and they went out and preached. Where? Everywhere. And the Lord did what? They went out and preached everywhere you are tomorrow, you preach. You're light. You're salt. You have a divine commission. You have a divine responsibility. You are a container of the Spirit of God, the glory of God, the presence of God. You are the physical, visible representation of Jesus. When they've seen you, they've seen him. When they hear from us, they've heard from Jesus. And he doesn't want us to hide it under a bushel. He wants it to break forth, praise God. So even with whatever we're involved in, don't get so consumed that you're not available and at God's disposal, no matter what you're doing in the natural. As we heard the other night, you're going to the meeting, but you're not so caught up in the natural that you can't take a moment and tell somebody about the love of God and the price Jesus paid for. And it might just be a seed planted right there that you might pick up with after work. You never know. It might be the next day or the day after. And I'm not saying that you have a casual attitude because we don't know about tomorrow. But sometimes that's how it works, beloved. You get a short opportunity here and you circle back around and the door opens again. Oh God, that we would just continue to pray, Lord, give us doors of utterance. Go into the supermarket, give me doors of utterance. If you go to the gym or wherever you might go, it doesn't matter where you go, being for God. Being consumed with the eternal purpose of God. No matter what we're dealing with in the natural, available and at his disposal because I am his and he is mine. Praise God. He said the harvest in verse 37 is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Listen to the burden of the Lord. I got more people I want to reach, but the laborers are few. There's more that I want to do in the earth. There's more I want to affect. There's more that I want to reach. But those genuinely and truly available are few. That it not be said of any one of us sitting in these chairs that we're not those who are totally sold out and available to whatever the Lord has. Amen. And it might not be known by everybody. You might not get to stand up and share your testimony. It doesn't matter. The Lord knows. What we're doing is unto the Lord and for the glory of the Lord. We don't need recognition from man. We're not doing it to be for eye service in the eyes of men. We're doing it because of the one who died for us, the one that we answer to, the one that we have been loved by so freely. Can't help but speak because I've been touched. It's not just a trite, it's not just a religious saying, once I was blind, but now I see. But it's real in your life. It's real in our lives. Let me tell you what he's done for me. And they overcame, it says in Revelation, the enemy by the word of their what? Testimony. That testimony. The power that's in the word and the power of how that word and the power of the cross and the redemptive work has affected you personally. That living epistle that's known, that living love letter that's known and read by all men. But the laborers are few. Therefore, here's how he says he wants us to respond. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out. Pray tonight. Lord, I want to be more used. I want to be more fruitful soul winner. As much as the Lord has used us, and I believe it's been some of our most useful time in the kingdom in these areas, I still believe, as Pastor has been saying in all these different areas, there's room for improvement. Amen. I want to be more like Jesus as a soul winner. I want to have more of his heart for souls, more of his compassion. And the love of God, Paul said, he said the love of God compelled him, constrained him to share. Imagine under great pressure for their own lives, they said, as we heard this morning, when they were threatened to be beaten and imprisoned, and they were beaten and imprisoned, and they were threatened again to not teach or speak any more in that name. And that's when they said, ought we to obey God? You don't want me to speak in his name? Ought we to obey God or man? When the laws of men and the requirements of men and the dictates of men conflict with the word, there's no decision. I answer to God, no matter what the cost or the price. It will cost you everything. And that seed of your life will fall into the ground and bring forth fruit for his glory, whether it's dying to self or dying as a martyr. There's no weapon formed against us that'll prosper. Nay, Paul said in all these things, we are more than conquerors, but he just finished talking about sword, famine, perils, persecutions, being led as sheep to the slaughter. Nay, in all these things. You know, people imagine conquering, you know, they just imagine everything falls before them, nothing happens. Nothing happens. Exactly right, nothing happens. Because the angels of the Lord encamp around those who fear him. Nothing did happen. It depends what mind you're viewing it with. What happened? They got their rewards. What happened? They're somewhere we're hoping to reach. Paul got such a glimpse, and we're not Paul, but man, he got such a glimpse. He said, to be with Christ is far better. Can you say that? To be with Christ is far better. Can you just make that one of your prayers tonight? I want to see Jesus and the Spirit through his word, through his body, in such a way as I visit and commune and spend time with him, in such a way that I can say, for me to live is Christ. I mean, we know the verse. We got the doctrine. But where our hearts are living in that place, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And to be with Christ, I've tasted enough to know that to be perfectly like him is better than being here, as we heard this morning. And he's coming back for us soon. And it's sooner than when we first believed. And there's souls, brethren, that need to still be reached. There's people in the body, not just this body. This is where Father put us. There's believers we run into who need their hands strengthened, who need to be shored up, who need to be admonished and encouraged with the word. Not because we're better or we think we know everything. It's just the heart of a believer to want to edify, to speak the word, to speak the word that you've received so freely. To whom much is given, right? To whom much is given, I believe that's you and I who have received much. We heard that word this morning about being stirred. Let us be stirred, praise God, to take authority over the enemy who blinds the hearts and minds of those who don't believe. Let us not in any way, by knowing it's few there be that find it, lack compassion. Because there's some areas in the world right now where they're far more receptive than we encounter in Loudoun County. Let me tell you. There are some pockets of people being revived and influx in other places. It's not just like Loudoun County. But the Lord's brought in a lot of people from around the world into this county. Oh God, the privilege of being used. So thankful for what He's been doing in our lives and through our lives. And our ministry and care for one another is a real testimony of just His goodness and His presence. It's not natural, and we don't want it in any way to take it for granted, but just to continue to be thankful. In Matthew 28, we're talking about go. His eyes moving to and fro. He sees how available you are. He's not looking for, we've heard this before, it's not about how much ability. It's not how well you can speak. Well, I don't know if I can speak. I don't know. It's not about what you can or can't do. It's about you trusting in Him and obeying Him and trusting that what He's asked you to do, He's going to be there with you, empowering you, giving you grace, and anointing you to do it. Bearing that fruit that'll remain. But in Matthew 28, He said, all power has been given to Me in heaven and on earth, in verse 18. Go therefore, make disciples. I thank God for reaching people who get converted and the opportunity, because you got to start with being converted before you can be discipled. Amen. But here He's emphasizing, like in Mark 16, go and preach the gospel to every creature. And He talks about those who are being saved. Here He says, now go and make disciples. People who are going to be converted, surrender, and follow My steps. Because if they get converted and they're not willing to be discipled, they did not get converted. They might have repeated a prayer, they may have been illuminated, they might have even been convicted, or they may have even, like the parable said, believed for a while. But as they get opportunity to hear and be instructed and taught the ways of the Lord, if they're converted, their spirits are going to desire God. That doesn't mean that they have no carnality and no worldliness. But old things have passed away and all things have become new, and there's a new spirit man in there who has an appetite for God Himself, for God's Word, to be with God's people. And this Jesus who has forgiven them and touched them and filled them with His love is the one they want to now inquire and know about. Come and see where He is. And they came. But this thing of conversion and eternal life, and they're down the road, don't want anything to do with you, with the church, with the Word. I'm not saying you did anything wrong. I'm not saying you did. You can sometimes try to talk people out of it and say, man, it doesn't seem like, no, I'm ready. Well, maybe they believed for a while and had no root in themselves. And when more of the cost became, they became more aware of the cost that it might cost them a relationship with the, you know, a relationship they don't want to give up, something to do with their family, something to do with the type of job that doesn't honor the Lord, whatever it is, they start seeing the cost. They're like, well, you know, I really wasn't planning on this. But man, when they're touched by Jesus and forgiven, and they know the reality of that redemptive work and what they've been delivered from, there's not a whole lot of balking about the cost. It cost Jesus His blood. It cost Jesus His blood. Let's go tell somebody. We heard the other night about D.L. Moody, and it doesn't mean that you have to have that same conviction, but I tell you, it's quite a spirit to have. I'm not going to bed without sharing Jesus with at least one person. So if you haven't gotten someone that day, turn around to your spouse before their eyes close and start talking, man. But if you can get somebody else and say no and they're already saved. dude would get out of bed at midnight. And it wasn't because he wasn't about the kingdom. He just didn't reach a soul the way he believed he needed to. He'd get out of bed and go out and find somebody. You think you can get anybody around here at midnight? I don't know. How busy 7-Eleven at midnight? Busy enough, right? Because if there's one person there, it's worth going, right? Is Walmart 24 hours? I think there's people there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, you might need an interpreter, but go, praise God. And it's not limited to Latinos. It is not limited. There's an influx of people from a lot of places coming this way. Like Pastor said, the Lord's bringing them to us. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me. So as you go, just remember, Jesus has the power. Satan's power is real. Demonic power is real. We are in ourselves no match for the enemy in ourselves. But he has been disarmed in heavenly places. We need to go take the victory of Calvary, the victory of the resurrection, and go and force the enemy's already defeat in the name of Jesus. We need to walk in the authority that we have, church. Brethren, we need to just ask the Lord to help. Lord, I want to know that authority. It's not arrogance. It's the authority that's in his name. We need to more freely speak his word with boldness and the authority to represent Jesus. I just think it needs to become more real to us, the authority that we have as the church, the authority over the enemy, the authority over sin, over Satan's activity in people's lives, the authority to bind and loose. Probably won't bind and loose like Shambach, but you can still bind and loose. Matthew 28. Go therefore, verse 19, and make disciples of all nations. And this is my favorite. I've read and seen a number of books on making disciples, but here it is. In just a few words, teach them, verse 20, to do everything that I've commanded you. The way you make a disciple is you tell them what God expects from, just give them verses to read. Show them areas to read in the Word and tell them whatever you read, the Lord wants you to do it. And look at my life and follow me as I follow this Word. And now when you give your life to Jesus, this isn't now you having the right to do whatever you want. You got to go into his word. And you got to find people who are more mature than you, who've been living in this word, who can help you grow and help you mature. And I'm going to be here for you. And here's my number. Is this what you want? This is a commitment to Jesus and to his church. Well, no, I thought I like the part about fire insurance. You said I could escape hell. That's the part I want. That's great part too. It's good to be free from sin's power. It's good to not go to hell. Amen. It's good to be ready for heaven. But Jesus wants your whole heart. Are you ready to surrender and give all to him? Well, there's one area. No, he don't want you to fix anything. You can't fix yourself. You can't modify anything to become good enough to deserve this. It's a gift, man. So you can't stop cussing or you're going to stop chewing. Those areas of habits or things that you think are not acceptable to God. They're not. But you can't change them in yourself. He wants you to come as you are, and he'll meet you right where you are, and he won't leave you as you are. The gospel of grace, the goodness of God that brings men to repentance. And we've been hearing some from pastor's heart. The message of repentance is in many circles. It's almost like a gone message. The power of the cross and the need for men to repent and turn away from their sins and amend their ways. Jesus said even in Mark 1, repent and believe the gospel. It's good news, but there's repentance. Turn. That's all it means. Turn. And the Holy Spirit brings conviction on their heart because they don't believe on Jesus. They haven't accepted him to be Lord and Savior. And as you share the word, as you share the gospel, as you share his redemptive work, what he did at Calvary for them and how he died for, lived a sinless life, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. Died for their sins, rose again the third day. As you're sharing, the Holy Spirit is at work, man. He is at work. When you exalt Jesus and you lift him up, he said, I will draw all peoples to myself. And he draws them by the Holy Spirit. Because he said, no one can come unless the Father draw. And he draws by the work of the Holy Spirit. And he convicts them because they're not right with Jesus. He convicts them because they haven't believed on Jesus. He convicts them because they haven't said yes and bowed and surrendered and given their life. And he allows them to sense their emptiness and be unsettled and be uneasy and troubled. And he's wooing them and drawing them and telling them, you're not right. You're not ready. If you die, you're going to go to hell. This is what I have for you. It's abundant life. I paid the price. And Satan's there working on him going, not now. Maybe later. This isn't a convenient time. I still got a few more things to take care of that aren't cool with God. And they're thinking about delaying and postponing. And we need to have that boldness, man, to say, let me just share with you. I can't talk you into this. It's your decision. But let me share with you. And you begin to compel them. And you begin, not in the natural, you begin, like Paul said, to persuade them about the kingdom, about the dangers of saying later when we might have to give an account today. Pleading for their souls, man. You might never see them again. Pleading for their souls. You might weep, you might plead. However the Lord uses you, but your heart, Father, give me a heart for this next person I'm going to reach. Let me not think of being just all the people I got to reach this year. Let me just think of the next person that you would have me reach. And I'm asking you to work in me and help me to be purified so that whatever it might be hindering me from being a greater soul winner, you would work in me your purpose in this area. Any area where I'm jaded or lacking the compassion, Father, I just want your heart for these people. I want the heart you had for me in bringing me to yourself. That person you used to bring me into your kingdom, let me not lose that heart of compassion, that heart of love. Let me not lose the urgency that I might not see them again. You might be that intercessor standing in the gap between the living and the dead. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Now, when you give your heart to Jesus, you're no longer your own, you're His. He'll give you a desire and a heart to obey Him. He'll give you a desire for His Word. Have you read the New Testament already? You can start in Matthew if you want. You can tell them start in John, Matthew. All of it is good, praise God. John's not a bad gospel. It's not bad to start in Romans, but I like starting people in the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word, and I like to show people His divinity right in the beginning. He's not just Son of Man. He's not just Son of God. He is God in the flesh. Because there's a lot of cults who believe He's the Son of God, but not God. A lot of them. And it's not complicated. It's not complicated. It's simple. They just have to be ready and willing. And you give them every opportunity. You say, well, how far do you go? I mean, they're closing the door. I mean, do you want me to put my foot in the door? You might need to. Did you say, like, break in there? I didn't say break in. I just said they're slamming the door. And you kind of put your foot in there and say, I really believe the Lord has something He wants me to share with you. Can you give me an opportunity? No. Okay, then you leave. Because after that, you're probably going to have the cops come. I'm just making a point. How easy are you going to let them off? Satan's working in them going, who are these people? What do they want? I'm busy now. I'm going. I got things to do. People to see. They're going to hell is where they're going. They're on their way to hell with a one-way ticket unless Jesus comes in their life. So don't be apologetic. I'm sorry. I don't want to take your time. Don't be apologetic for sharing Jesus. Represent Him. Be bold as a lion. He that winneth souls is wise. We're ambassadors. We have the word of reconciliation. We are representing God to them with the word of reconciliation. We don't need their affirmation. We don't need their approval. We don't need them to like us. I think sometimes we're too concerned about our image and being proper and not wanting to offend anybody. Just go in, just get up tomorrow and go offend somebody for Jesus' name. Just try to. I'm not saying be offensive. try to offend somebody in the name of Jesus, okay? Because that's what happens if they're not going to bow. He's a rock of offense. He has a heart for them. Yes, he won't. Smoking flax he'll not quench. A broken reed he'll not break. He's tenderhearted. He wants to reach them. But he's also a rock of offense. We're so afraid of offending. We're so afraid of being seen as a bad guy sometimes. We're too worried about how we appear in their eyes. Like Pastor was saying recently, don't fear those who can kill the body. What are you going to... It's not about what they think about me. They're going to think I'm bald and I got a shiny head. Whoop-de-doo. At least it's a tanned bald head. And it's got a shine on it, man. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. That fear for our reputation, that fear of how they might react, that fear of, you know, we all have to deal with it. We're all human. It's in every one of us. I'm just saying the greater one, the grace. Lord, help me to over... And being honest, Lord, help me. I'm caught up in me now, and I know you want me to reach this person. Help me to get my eyes off the circumstances, off myself. Maybe you need to latch on to someone who's got it working better than you and say, hey, are you going out Monday night? I need kind of to get stirred up in it. And go out with somebody who's stirred up so you can, it's contagious. And when you get it stirred up and you begin sharing again, you want to share more. And you realize you weren't sharing enough. And it's not about works, but it's about the works of God. It's not about seeking the Lord's approval. It's about wanting to represent the Lord. We have his approval. We're accepted in the beloved. Now go. We are his workmanship, amen, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Good works are seeing captive set free from sin's power, from Satan's captivity. They're held in satanic chains, man. They're held in darkness, and he wants to translate them into his marvelous light. He wants to pull them out of darkness and bring them into his light. And Satan's telling them, no, that's too radical. I'm not really into being religious. Oh, I'm Catholic. No title that they put on themselves affects me at all. It doesn't matter. I'm Catholic. Okay, thank you. I just keep rolling. I'm Mormon. It doesn't matter. It's all the enemy just putting a front before. It doesn't matter. You don't have to even know what they believe or what they... And none of that matters. The power's in the gospel. It's not bad if you know something about what they believe, but don't think that that's what makes you ready. Don't trust in that knowledge Pastor's talking about this morning. It's not about how much knowledge. It's about, I was once blind. The word of your testimony. What Jesus did at Calvary, you're ready. Now go. Because how much doctrine did they have? How much New Testament doctrine did they have before they went out and shared the gospel? They didn't even have a canon yet. They just had the words of Jesus, and they went out and cast out devils, laid hands on the sick, and we got way more knowledge and a lot less power. That tells me we need to be more with Jesus, amen? More with him and more like him. Get back on the straight and narrow on that highway of holiness where there is no lion. That place where we delight to do his will. Where we can say, like in John 4, when he was talking about the fields being white, he said, I have meat, I have food to eat, because they were hungry. He was hungry too. It says they were weary. They went out to get food, and he let them roll. It was Jeff and the crew. They went out to get some grub, man. Jeff, I'd be with you, man. So they went out to get food. They came back. They were trying to give him food, but he was so satisfied with the soul, the lady, he was so satisfied in Father's will. There's such a lesson for us there. He was so satisfied in being about Father's business that even the natural appetite, he said, I have meat to eat that you don't know anything about. They were going to come to know. But at that point, he said, that you don't know anything about. My meat is to do. And at that point, the meat he was talking about was reaching that lady. There's a certain meat and a certain fulfillment. There's a certain calling in our lives as believers when we're not walking in that calling of being that light and that salt. There's just something that's not where it should be. That's just one aspect, but it's an important one, man. Letting our light so shine before men that they see our good works and just begin to. They can't deny. No, they can't deny. They give glory. It says, let your light so shine, so shine. I think we've been shining, but it said so shine before men that they see your good works and go, glory to God, they're different. They still might want to kill you and hate you, but they go, there's something different. This isn't just religion. These people say they know Jesus. They have a relationship with him. But I see it in their marriages. I see it in their children. I see how they relate as family units. I see how they work. I see their submission at work. I see their obedience, their diligence. I see their faithfulness at work. And did I say submission to their boss? I want to make sure. Submission to their boss. I didn't say obey your boss more than God, but are you submissive? Are you teachable? We should be as believers, right? Being free in Jesus doesn't mean I'm a rebel. Humility. It shows in the practical. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What a promise. I will not, John 14, leave you comfortless or as orphans. Lo, I'm sending you out and I'm going to be with you always. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to forget you. I'm not going to leave you hanging. You're never out of my heart or off my mind. I never get so caught up with anything or anyone else that I forget your name and forget each one of your specific needs. As we heard tonight, our sister sharing, the Lord cares about our lives. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And imagine how great and awesome that God is who can fellowship with that many people all at the same time and be that intimate and that available as an ever-present help in time of trouble. What an awesome God. A readily available God that he doesn't forget us, but we sure do forget him a lot more than we should. Sideline him, put him on hold, tell him to wait. Tell them we have higher priorities. We never say that because that'd be the wrong thing to say. We just do that. And sometimes we think he doesn't even know that we neglect him. We forget about his word. We get caught up in our... What do? Dust yourself off. Get back up. Go to him and tell him. He already knows you're not going to give him a newsflash or surprise him that you messed up. He knows and he still loves you and he's ready to receive your humility and honesty and put you back on track and dust you off and cleanse you and go, now go again. Well, hold on a minute. I'm not worthy yet. As we've been hearing about the power of God, it's not about being worthy. It's about being obedient. We're never worthy. We have to walk worthily, Ephesians says, but that's not about my sense of worthiness based on my surmiser. My surmiser is not just used on other people. We use it on ourselves too and overanalyzing ourselves through our own surmisers. Only the Word of God can dissect and discern. Because you can be so analytical of others or yourself that you can get paralyzed. Over analytical of self is going to have you still focusing on the wrong thing. Right? Self, which is the biggest problem. I have found the enemy and it is me, but Jesus already paid the price to help me overcome that enemy. But it's a daily cross, right? And the need to recognize that we're crucified with Christ and it's the Spirit of God, as we heard this morning in that utterance, that's quickening our mortal bodies. As we commune with God, we're getting refreshed. I trust that you're letting the Lord refresh you in this hour. It's just a day where the enemy's going to look in his craftiness for ways to weaken the church, to weaken your life, to not even get you to necessarily do wrong, but omit from doing right. And then if we're focused more on not doing wrong, we think we're not doing that bad. But see, sin is transgression of the law. But James says sin is also omitting, knowing to do good and not doing it. But it still falls back to love God with all your heart. Walk in the Spirit. Walk by faith. Seek Him with all your heart. And it goes from there. Then you love your neighbor. You'll love souls. You'll love your wife. You'll love your children. You'll love your enemies. Because we can't do this. It's Jesus alive in us. But he's given us everything we need to be victorious. Luke 10, as we're about to close here soon. Verses that we're so well aware of, but it's good to be refreshed. And verse 17, the 70 returned with joy, verse 17 of Luke 10, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. There's not a lot of manifestation of demons around here, but I want to tell you something that you already know. There are a lot of demons around here. And we heard Pastor talk about the gifts of the Spirit this morning. He said we need the discerning of spirits. Yeah, we do. We need to be at a place where we're full enough for the activity of demons, whether it's in our prayer lives and intercession, or when we're dealing with people, we're going out to witness, there's just that prayerfulness and being aware Satan's trying to hold people captive and Jesus wants to set them free. That enemy, he's out there, man. He is out there. He's holding people captive. And I think there's more demons that we need to become aware of and cast out. And I'm not telling you go looking for them and hunt them down like in some of the books we've read in the past. But they're out there and they're holding people captive. And people have wills, yes, but there's an enemy who's taking them captive without them knowing it and making them believe they're Lord. They're not doing what they want. They're out of control with lust. They're out of control with pride, murder, envy, jealousy, anger. Their lives are out of control just like ours were until we got saved. And then Satan tries to lie to us and say, they seem like they're okay. I don't know if they'd want to hear about Jesus. It doesn't matter how they present themselves. They're lost souls. Doesn't matter how successful they are. God is no respecter of persons, and we don't need to be neither. And we don't need to fear the mighty and be worried about what they think and then be more comfortable reaching this person. It doesn't matter what class. Doesn't matter what they own. They have the same need. They're harder to reach. There's more of a self-sufficiency and pride in what they have, but the same emptiness, the same need, that God-shaped void that's in them, it's the same with every man. And you just begin to speak in the spirit into their, you see no man like Paul said after the flesh, and you just begin to speak to their heart condition, and this gospel just penetrates the hardest of hearts. It comes like a hammer that'll break the rock in pieces and penetrate their pride and their arrogance. And I've seen some of the wealthiest, most successful people just start breaking down and speaking where they're really at. Don't be impressed by natural success. It's a tendency that's going to be there. And the fact that not the majority of them, not many mighty, are going to be saved, that doesn't mean God doesn't have the same heart. Even you see pastor's heart to reach a number of these people, like even through the car stuff that you normally wouldn't even see or encounter. Not all of them are big hit money people, but there's a number of those people who got money. They need Jesus. We've heard some of the testimonies of people who've been reached. What a privilege to be able to herald this gospel in this hour. What a privilege. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And it said the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And I'm just sharing it again from the word of God. The demons are subject to us in his name. And they need to be identified. They need to be cast out in this hour. And ask God to use you that way. Maybe you've never done that. Just say, Lord, I know they're out there and I know you told us to do it and I want to be available. I don't want to go demon hunting. I want to be about the gospel. You said, go preach the gospel, but I'm asking you to give me discernment where I can either cast them out prayerfully like Daniel was interceding or recognize their activity in someone's life and cast them out. But just make yourself available. Make it a matter of prayer. I believe he'll use you for his glory. And I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents. In this context, he's really likening the enemy's activity to serpents and scorpions. So it's just that simple. I've given you power to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Man, we need that courage in our hearts based on the word, that boldness. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven, praise God. And then look what he says here, just to cut into verse 23. He turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things which you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. How blessed we are, man. How blessed. Do you remember when David was in that heart of repentance in Psalm 51? And he said, restore to me what? The joy of your salvation. Then will I teach what? Transgressors your ways. There's something to that to think about. Don't let anything take your joy. Jesus said the joy he's given you, no one can take from you. That joy is your strength. That joy is from his presence. That joy is the fruit of the Spirit. That joy is something that Jesus gave you to give you that peace. And we know that blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. It's part of, I'm not saying joy and happiness don't have a relationship, but joy goes even transcends happiness. Because there's a happiness that's godly, but the happiness that people in this world talk about is circumstantial. It's natural. It lasts. It's fleeting. But the joy of the Lord be in your strength and going forth in the joy of the Lord. And sometimes there's going to be times where we're weeping. And it may endure for a night and you could be broken over some need in your home or your family or some other soul or something that's heart-wrenching or heartbreaking. But joy is going to come in the morning, praise God. And that joy is awaiting us in those places of glory, man, that the Lord has for us. Oh my gosh, we need to go, beloved. We need to go. Don't have time now, but Jude talks about souls being plucked. It says on some, have compassion, making a difference or distinction. It says others save them with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Plucking them, it says, as brands from the fire. I pray tonight that we would all receive a fresh vision, myself included, a fresh vision of the state of the lost. That we would see their eternal state and not just see their hair, their clothes, what they're driving, where they live, whatever we could learn about them naturally, we would see their state eternally. And we would never lose that vision. Just a vision, a fresh vision of their condition that they're in and the urgency that there's no guarantee of their tomorrow. That we would be compelled. And even it says, Jesus had that time where it says he must needs, the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And in John 4 it says he must needs go through Samaria. You find out later that must needs. That lady got touched and went and told others and a little revival broke out there. You never know that one person you reach who they're going to go reach. And they said, now we believe not just because you said he knows everything about you, but now we can see this is truly the Son of God. Pray that the Lord would just visit our hearts. There's been such a longing we've been hearing in pastor's heart for God's visitation, for biblical Christianity, for the biblical truths to be a present reality. There's just been such a longing in his heart for the true visitation of God to transform our lives, to break forth in our midst, for our hearts to be so caught up with Jesus that we would just become what the Bible says we're supposed to be and it be normative Christianity. But I appreciate that heart and it has touched my heart, that desire for us. God is so good. Let's close in prayer. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Just take a moment and begin to exalt him. He's so worthy. He's been so good to us. Father, thank you. Yes, Father. God, we need you, Lord. Father, we need you now. We're coming as your children with desperate hearts, Lord, with longing hearts, Father, we need you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, he cares so much about your needs, but he wants you to just get your eyes off of yourself and don't let any of your needs cause you to be self-absorbed. He cares. He cares about you. He loves you. He wants to meet all your needs. He wants to touch your life. He wants to heal your spirit, soul, and body. But he also wants you to lift up your eyes tonight and look on the fields. They're already white on the harvest. God wants to use you in a way you've not been used. He wants to make you fruitful beyond what you've known. According to your faith, according to your availability, according to your yieldedness. God, fill your people. Oh, that the wind of your spirit would come through this place like a mighty rushing wind, and that you would revive the hearts of your people, refresh your people, Lord. Refill us with the Holy Spirit. Those believing to be filled, maybe this is your night to receive that baptism in the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to pray and speak in other tongues as you worship and exalt Jesus. It's the promise of the Father, and it's to you and to your children. You don't have to wait. He's already given that gift. Now receive it by faith and begin to bless the Lord with all your heart. Oh God, the people you're bringing here this week, that we would be moved. Maybe the Lord's going to speak to you and just tell you, leave work for a little bit and come up here and look for a soul. Glory to God. Maybe you're just going to be in prayer about it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Anyone that we touch, let's look for the best way to stay in touch and follow up with them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the privilege, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you for your presence in our midst, Father. Thank you for the word of the Lord that you've given us, Father. We're a blessed people, Lord. We're a blessed people, Lord. Help us to see the fields, Lord. The fields, the condition that these hearts and lives are in who don't know Jesus, Lord. Father, we take authority right now over the enemy. We take authority right now over principalities and powers of all of those who are going to come this week. We bind that strong man. We take authority over every satanic influence. We take authority over the principalities and the demons of our enemies who are saying they're going to come to mock. Oh God, show yourself mighty in this place. Show yourself mighty in your people. Break the hearts of these rebels, Father. Oh God, in your mercy, that you would grant them grace to repent. Father, even as they come to scorn and to mock and to dissuade people, let your hand be mighty, Lord. Let your hand be mighty for your glory, Lord. Show yourself mighty in your people, Lord. Make a name for yourself in this place. Manifest your power. Manifest, we ask you in Jesus' name, your glory. Confound those who mock and scorn and scoff and persecute you and think they're just attacking your people with righteous reasons, with that wicked spirit in their hearts. Bring them under godly conviction and sorrow. Smite the wickedness of their hearts, that they'd be able to break and see the wickedness of their bitterness and unforgiveness, oh God, that you'd intervene in their lives. Father, even as they try to dissuade people, Father, we're asking you to arrest hearts, to draw them here supernaturally as we pray for the redemption of our enemies, Father. Our, the visitors that are coming, the believers that are coming, that they would be blessed, they'd be refreshed, touched by your peace, touched by your love. Father, use our lives mightily for your glory, Father. We'll be careful to give you the glory, Lord Jesus. We just want you to be exalted and be all in all, Father. Thank you, Father, for your presence tonight, Father. Glory to God. Thank you for the refreshing, the rest that's in your presence. We speak your peace now upon your people, Lord. And we thank you for the victory that we have in Jesus, that we are more than conquerors because of your resurrection power. And now as we're going, Lord Jesus, just refresh us that you're ever living to make intercession for your church, and no temptation will come upon us except that that you've ordained. Refresh us that you're ordering our steps and that you've gone before us and your glory is our rear guard. We rest and who you are in our lives, in Jesus' name, amen. Turn to someone and say, if God is for you, nobody can be against you.